right, let's do it. Under oath. Here we go. Yay.
Well, we're going to have to go to court.
Court? No.
Your Honor.
No, I'm not going to go to court.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
All rise. The Cowhead Show is now under oath.
No, that is me, Mike Cowhead. Right, we just don't have one that specifically says me.
Gotta get that.
We haven't done just a solo under oath in a long time. I will hit the phone lines first, so we'll give many callers an opportunity to get through. And then you will have the opportunity in this room and the hotline for the likes of Drew and Seth and Roger and JP and Mo and past or present employees is wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with a lady. Hello, Julia. You're on the Mike Calta Show. I am under oath. What do you got, Punkin?
How do you feel about women that breastfeed in public?
I got to be honest with you. The worst thing about that to me is I want to look at that. I want to look at it partly because I'm perverted and partly because I find it to be rather beautiful. And it creates a situation for me where I feel like a creep. So I don't mind that they're doing it. I just need to avert my eyes.
Okay. That's all right.
Very easy start to under oath. Thank you. Let me go to one Crazy Patty so they can clear her off the phone lines. Go ahead, Crazy Patty.
Hi, Mike. Let's say the building studio there is burning down. Who would you save? You could only save one person. Carmen, Rob, Spanish, or Galvin?
Carmen.
Okay.
Well, here's the thing.
No explanation needed.
No, I
know why.
Why?
Because I get out, those two burn, and we save Carmen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Galvin gets out on his own.
Yeah.
Galvin is not, fire can't stop Galvin.
Right.
And I could scoop up Carmen and run with her, and these two make it, they make it. If not, we go to the pet store and get two more hamsters. It doesn't matter.
He said pet store. You guys are animals.
Rodents. Joey, go ahead.
Hey, Mike, this is a two-part question. One, are you upset with Tony Burton for throwing you under the bus, stating on trial yesterday that you were the one that sent him the tape of Hogan?
Now, question real quick. Did you listen to that? Because he never said that.
Well, he said that you were the client, and that
I was a client. That what? That what?
Well, they asked him, "Where did you get the tape?" And he said, "From a client." And he said, "Who?"
No,
that
is not what he said, sir. That is not what he said.
It's pretty close.
No, but there's a big difference.
Close.
Pretty close changes the entire context of the conversation.
So let me ask you, Mike. You didn't send Tony Burton the tape?
I did not ever have a tape in my possession, nor did I send it to anybody or anything.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Yes.
You didn't direct anybody to send that tape?
I didn't direct anyone to do anything. I passed along an address to two different news organizations to somebody who called the show.
Who was the guy that called the show?
I don't know. It was somebody who called on the request line.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
That's a three-part question, but that's okay, sir. Go ahead.
Okay, well, here's the third part. So do you feel that you having any involvement in getting one of a fellow employee's job terminated, how's that?
Nobody was ever terminated from this. Who are you referring to?
Let's be real. We know who we're talking about.
Well, then
right?
Say it. I haven't denied.
Well, Bubba.
Bubba didn't get terminated. His contract was not renewed when it was up, and it wasn't because of anything to do with the sex tape. The sex tape came out 3 years before he was not renewed at this radio station.
Mike,
sir.
If we're gonna go under oath, buddy, let's be.
But why do you think that you know more than I know? I'm here. I'm in this place. I know way more information than you do. You're asking me a question, and I'm answering you honestly. If that tape came out 3 years prior and was detrimental to this company in any way, why didn't they fire him immediately when it came out?
Well, I
can tell you the opposite happened, sir. I can tell you the opposite. The management actually said, for a shock job to have a sex tape, that's not such a bad thing. Those were exact words that I heard from management here.
All right, let me ask you this.
Yeah, it's a four-part question.
If you had no involvement in getting that tape to Tony Burton, why is your name even coming up on the trial? My name's not coming up on the trial. I had no involvement with the tape. Why is your name coming up in the trial?
I can tell you the exact situation. Because there was an email between my agent and Gawker, and when they subpoenaed Gawker's emails, they found that, they investigated, they found out there was nothing there, and they let it go. So Tony was brought in for a deposition. They talked to him. He said, hey, we had had this caller that was persistent on sending Mike the tape. Mike said he didn't want to have anything to do with the tape. And Mike asked me, in his opinion, what outlet would be interested in that tape and pass that information on to that guy. And at that point, I'm out of the situation. And so is Tony. So they brought Tony in for a deposition, and then that's it. They didn't even call him as a witness. He's not here for this thing. My name has never come up. No one. I have never talked to a lawyer. I have never been subpoenaed for anything. I have never had to go in and answer any questions for anybody. I have nothing to do with this. You now have the same information that everybody else has, and I have nothing to do with it.
All right, so your name just comes up in the trial yesterday as Tony Burton's client who got a. I mean, it just doesn't add
your,
up.
Okay. Your, but sir, you're going ahead and you're putting two together in your head, and you think that it equals four because you're just taking the romantic pieces and trying to make it sexy. That's not the case. There's a lot of information that you don't know about that go way deeper that have nothing to do with me. But it's easier and more sexy to think that I'm the one that had something to do with it because Bubba and I don't get along.
Well, one last question then.
That's a six-part question, but I'll take it, sir. Go ahead.
One last one.
I got to take this off, guys.
Did you personally bail Drew's wife out when she got arrested in October?
No. Where did that come from?
No, that's what the story I heard.
I've met Drew's wife two times in our life. One time was when we went out to dinner, and one time was at a station function. I couldn't even tell you right now her first name if I had to guess it.
All right,
I hope I have satisfied all of your questions, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
That was a lot of questions. Let's keep them to one.
But here's the thing, I will repeat this now. You are going to want to say A plus B equals C because it's a better story. It's a better soap opera that it's two guys fighting and it must be one guy that did it and the other guy. And unfortunately, because private emails were subpoenaed and there were things discussed, which everybody was discussing the sex tape at the time, it made them stop and say, hey, we should look at this. And then if you listen to the testimony, right after they have that information, they asked the folks from Gawker, so did they send you the tape? And they said, no, we don't believe it came from them. That's in their deposition.
Here's the other thing, is the people that have all the information aren't interested in you.
By the way, do you know that I'm not Tony Burton's only client?
No!
Yeah, and that he has several other clients that are in the media, a majority of which are on the Howard Stern Show, and a majority who Stern said he'd been on that show four times yesterday. Everybody was interested in that tape. So slow it down a little. I'll do my best to answer all of your questions on the road, but you have to take the answers for what they are and realize that 2 + 2 doesn't always equal 4 because you want it to. All right, what do we have in the room? And then I'll go back to the phone line. 727-579-1025 or 1-800-771-1025. There is one line open right now.
I have a question that came in through Twitter. From C.L. Creech. He asks, before Christmas, Mike said that between Rob, Spanish, and Carmen, one does not do as much as the other two. Which one is it under hashtag under oath?
I don't remember saying that. Did I say that? Because I'm going to tell you right now, to be honest, Rob, is that I think you do the most work because you and I are in communication all day on this show. You'll send me emails from 3 o'clock to 10 o'clock. But at the same time, before I go to bed, I usually get an email for prep from Spanish.
Right.
So he's working, and he does the after show. And then Carmen's doing the before show, the after show, and she's got another job. So I got to tell you, today, I would say you all do about the same amount of work.
This guy,
I don't want to be nice to
this guy says, whatever happened to Brent and Mr. Excitement?
I don't know. Mr. Excitement got fired when that station flipped formats or whatever it did, and I barely see him. I run into him every once in a while at a Bucks game, and we don't even talk. Brent went back to college, and he is he was always good at art, and I believe he does art now. I don't know if he does like commercial art or what, but he's very talented, and he's been pretty sick lately. But he's doing well other than his illness.
All right.
I have one more from Twitter.
For the love
it's
of
a
God.
Quick one. From Rotary Bubba, or Buddha, sorry, he asks, F, Mary, Kill, Carmen, Phoebe, or Kelly?
I would marry Kelly, and I would F Carmen, and I'd have to kill Phoebe, but yeah, only because out of default. Like, Phoebe would probably be the best one to marry. She'd probably cook and be nice to you and stuff.
Like a Kelly's nice homemaker. Yeah.
But Kelly and I think, would be a good couple.
Yeah.
Sorry, Spanish.
Probably.
I mean, she ain't going to get me to wear a cape at a concert.
It was a fantastic cape. If there was a fire and Kelly and I were in the fire.
Kelly gets saved.
Damn.
Yeah, I need her. Ben, go ahead.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, Ben.
Drew's married? Two-part question.
Yes.
Second question. If you could choose any WWE champion to secretly tape having a relationship with your wife, who would it be?
I don't know if this guy has ever really been champion, but my go-to would have to be Fandango, I think. I mean, he is...
Old school.
Oh, old school?
The model, Rick Martel. How could you not?
No,
that guy's good looking.
I don't want somebody too good looking. I guess if I'm going to go old school... Oh, man. I don't know, sir. Can I think about that one? I'll let you know. I would always say Randy Savage. I want to come home and find my wife to be panting... And in orgasmic, I want my wife to be panting in orgasmic ecstasy, and I want there to be purple and yellow frill all over my bed. That's what I'd like to see, sir. Thank you. I'm sorry. I didn't know there was more parts. James, go ahead. I am under oath. You're on the Mike Caldas show. Very, very tame question today. Go ahead, James.
Hey, Mike. Okay, so I actually asked you a couple of days ago on Twitter when we were doing the segment again, so I'm really glad it's come up.
I did it for you, sir.
Oh, well, thanks.
No, under oath I didn't. That. I didn't. I'm sorry. I lied under oath.
Okay, so here lately, the past few weeks, I've heard you do a segment on forgiveness, and people call in and you forgive them or unblock them or... That sort of thing, and this is sort of in that line of questioning. I don't think I've ever heard you answer this before.
All right.
In what world, in what scenario, would you ever forgive Bubba? Trust me, I'm not a fan of him.
No, I get what you're saying.
To him, but under what circumstances would you ever say, you know, listen, it's done, it's over with.
All right, here's what I'll tell you, sir, okay? When I did mornings at 98 Rock, in April of whatever, right before I came here, January rather of 2006, and my wife was pregnant, and we started in January of 2006, and we got fired in March of 2006. And the reason we got fired was because of a series of letters that were written to the FCC with copies of my show, and everybody was still so nervous about getting fined because of his fine and because of Janet Jackson. That they knee-jerked and they fired us, even though we had the highest ratings since he had worked there, and we were on a real good roll. Now, there is something about having your wife pregnant with your first child and you not having a job anymore that is horribly frightening. And that was the worst time of my life. And when I found out that it was him who sent the letters to the FCC, it was him, and he used his friend Craig the Bulldog's address and name in order to send them. When I did that, so several people have left his organization and have given me copies of those emails that were sent to the FCC from their computers and proof that it was actually them. At that point, I didn't want to have anything to do with him. I would rather watch him burn in a fiery accident than help him out. But when he came over to this radio station, he apologized for a bunch of things on the air. And the guys who worked with him said, listen, he's kind of a new guy now. He's all right. And I let it go. And I put that past behind me. I had a good job now. My son was well taken care of. My marriage was great. And I said, let me put this behind me and move on. And I did. And then it was the constant behind the back FUs that I would hear from clients, that he would be there telling them bad things about me behind my back and all that stuff that made me want to hate him again. But at the same time, I was so successful here that I didn't really care about him. So we were able to coexist even though we didn't like each other. We didn't work in the same building. We didn't have to see each other. So it was okay. Now, when you are on Periscope calling my 8-year-old son a faggot and making fun of my wife every day, once you cross that line and go into my family, then you get to the area where I will never respect you and I'd want to punch you in the throat. I don't care. My wife's an adult. She's been with me since I've been in radio. She doesn't care. She's good looking and she works out, and she's as she gets older, she gets hotter to me. So I don't care what anybody says about her. It doesn't bother her. She's a mental health counselor, so she knows the people that do that are people who are just projecting anyway. But the thing is that you talk about my kids, and I think any parent would agree that's the ultimate worst thing you could do. And then poor Rob had the worst situation ever to have the loss of a child. And instead of even having a moratorium on the war for a couple of days and letting him get over that, he attacked Rob's family and that situation. And no one is lower than that. No one that goes after a dead child. There is no bigger scumbag than somebody that takes advantage of that situation. So no, there is never a scenario that I will forgive him. I will do whatever I can to put my foot on his throat for the rest of my life.
Sounds like a good match for Mike Calta's punch out.
No, because I would kill him. And there's no doubt, and everybody knows it. So I don't have anything physically to prove there. And I think even he knows. In fact, I have several recordings of him saying, I got to apologize, Cal, because I know he can kill me if he had to. So yeah, thank you for the call, sir. Let's go to Richard. Richard, good morning. You're on the Mike Calta Show. I am under oath. Let's do this.
How are you doing today?
I'm awesome. How are you?
I'm good. Hopefully you can answer this question. I allegedly heard that Bubba used to get or had an apartment that was rented under Spice Boy's name to bang trannies. Do you have any knowledge of that?
I have no knowledge of that, sir. I would love to tell you that I know that that's true, but I know no knowledge of that whatsoever. I can tell you. How about this? I'll throw you in a bonus answer. I can tell you that in 1994, there was an apartment with two girls from 2001 that were hookers that Bubba put in an apartment that put them on the lease and put my name on the lease, and he had them there so that he can have radio executives come over and bang them at will, and he used to pay their rent and all their utilities. And I know that for a fact because my name was on the lease and it could be researched, and when they had to kick them out, I had to be the one to go kick them out. So there was no trannies to my knowledge there, but what do I know?
Okay, because I'm just curious. I had some what I thought was insider information. But
you may be right, sir, but under oath, I can't comment because I don't know about that.
Okay.
I can only tell you what I know. Dan, go ahead. I am under oath. What do you got?
My question is about Galvin's arrest.
Nope. You can ask me a question about me. That's what we're doing today.
Got it.
Yeah. And by the way, can I offer some information there?
Sure.
No tranny involved in that. Robert, go ahead.
I wish.
Hey, Mike. This is an easy one. I got a two-part question, too. Do you think, and I mean, you're pretty much an insider with those guys up in New York. You think Jim Norton leaves the show?
Yes.
Okay, and what's your favorite podcast, Mike?
By the way, that is my opinion. I don't have any inside information. My favorite podcast? Like a guest who smokes pot?
Podcast.
Well, podcast. I like Robert Kelly's, and I like Bert Kreischer's, and I occasionally I listen to Jay Moore's, but though Robert Kelly and Bert are the ones I really go to on a regular basis.
Okay, cool. Thanks, all right, Mike.
Thank you. Very easy questions today.
I have one from Trucker Bob. You made reference to it. He says, what's the beef with Burke?
Shannon Burke, to me, is a man of no morals. He is a complete flip-flopper, and I've never seen anybody that seems more self-entitled than that guy. He really thinks he's a lot better than he is. I busted my ass to get him to come over here against a lot of people's vision of what they wanted this station to be. I asked for them to let him host when I was on vacation, which had never been done before, and they did. And at that point, they were like, he doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound entertaining. And I said, I'm telling you, the guy, when he was on Orlando, was a great radio host, and I believe he has that in him. He's just a little rusty. And then it went on, and they hired him to work here, and it didn't work out. His show garnered no ratings. He had a weird situation where he wasn't in the building, and had to do it from somewhere else, and he was not very cooperative. And at that point, it didn't work out, and they had to let him go. And then immediately, all the bad things he said about Bubba and all the bad things he said about how horrendous his time was there and how he talked about him cheating on his wife and all that nonsense, the minute he gets let go here, he flips 100%, does a total 180, and starts talking about how miserable it was here and how he's the greatest thing and he's going back over there. I don't like people like that. Pick a side, stick to it, and be a real man about it. Don't, if you have to S somebody's D for the rest of your life to be in existence, then you don't want. I that's not a man to me. I would rather take a job at Walmart and stock shelves and have to go suck somebody else's butt in order to get a job and you know, go against what I really believe. I don't like people like that. John, go ahead.
Thanks, Mike. I have two questions for you. One's real easy. Have you ever cheated on your wife in any shape or form?
No.
Also, what do you think makes
Mike, I mean, I was laying in bed with Carmen while she was naked, but my wife was in the other room, so
Yeah. Okay. Okay. That's that works.
Thank you.
What do you think the Mike Caltas show? What do you think makes you so successful? You, as a group, as a whole, you, yourself, and your team.
I think this is part of it. The part that there's really not a lot that's fake about this show. And it gives you anytime you go out, the compliment that people will give you, I feel like I'm listening to a bunch of my friends talk on the radio, because we have our up days, we have our down days, we have good things that happen to us, life, or bad things, tragedies, arrest, people get fired, things change. And this is the most real show that is on the radio right now. I'll vote for Obama twice and then apologize for the next 3 years about it. I'll tell you when I'm wrong. I'll tell you when I'm right. And I don't think I'm better than you. And I think people respect that.
Absolutely. I do, too. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Phone lines are open. I'll go through one more set of the phones and then we'll move on. 727-579-1025 or 1-800-771-1025. I'll tell you right now, there's four lines open right now. So all you haters on Twitter that say you couldn't get through and that you didn't want to ask your question, here is your opportunity right now. Get through on the phone lines.
Fantastic question coming in from Andrew Alderman. Mike Elta, how do you feel about the lack of popularity of the LeBron compared to the Arnold Palmer?
I believe it's the LeBron's in its early stages, and I believe that with better marketing and more time, you'll see the LeBron show up in several restaurants.
So I'm right.
For now. I believe there's a future for the LeBron.
Okay. In everything.
Well, right. This certainly.
There's a future for the LeBron, Galvin. Mm-hmm. Mike Caltas show, hello.
Michael, do you think anybody in that room or on the third floor would ever sell you out for a bag of silver?
Somebody would Judas me, Avocado?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I believe that's true. I believe somebody would, and I don't believe anybody that's in this room right now would.
So either do I.
Like to point out, Spanish is not in this room right now. I see Spanish more like a St. Peter. He doesn't sell me out, but he denies me when things go bad. Like they see him and they go, weren't you from the Mike Caltas show? And he's like, no, I just look like that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Joel, go ahead, Joel.
Mike, there are rumors that there are fake characters on your show. Can you confirm
that there are what?
Galvin is really Spanish?
I can't say it again,
fake
sir.
Fake characters.
Oh.
Yeah, is Galvin really Spanish?
No, Galvin and Spanish are different people, but I will tell you, and this is going to come as a shock, Cliff was fake.
What? I had dinner with him.
No, Cliff was really me,
oh.
And I'm glad we got that out, sir. It was weighing on
Can
me.
Can we say hi to Cliff real quick? Hi, Cliff.
Hi, Galvin. How you doing? That's it, though. That's
a different voice. It's a different Cliff. Yeah.
No.
It was, hi, Galvin. How are you?
Well, yeah, he feels bad that the secret's out now. He's sad. Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, Mike, with these commercials, Mike, this show is turning into the infomercial Mike Caltas show.
Same amount of commercials that it always has, sir. 12 minutes an hour. Same thing since the show debuted on this station back in 2006. The problem is you love the show more. You love the show more, so you think you're hearing more commercials. Go ahead, Steve. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, yes. No. But, I mean, I understand sometimes you guys run over and stuff. But, Mike, sometimes it's really not 12 minutes an hour.
Sometimes we have to combine commercial sets. Like in this case, we started talking at 8:10. It's 8:32. I could easily go to 9 o'clock, and I've missed two commercial breaks. So sometime we have to catch up. So in your opinion, would you rather me take a commercial break now and come back in 12 minutes, or would you rather me keep going while we're on a roll and just do commercials later on?
If it was up to me, you wouldn't have one commercial.
Well, me either, sir, but somebody's got to pay the bill. Send Steve the bill for the station. Thank you, pal. I appreciate it.
If you want to start paying for radio.
That's just a sign that he likes your show, and I get you, but, you know, it's what we got to do. William, go ahead.
It's not William, it's Leon, but I love the show, Mike.
Sorry,
if
Leon.
If I was to see you out in public, man, what's the best advice you could give? I love radio, and a long time ago, lucky to get a job for a couple of years in radio, but what's the best way, man, that you could give some advice to somebody about trying to get back into it who doesn't have a degree hanging on the wall?
It's simple. I don't have a degree. Spanish doesn't have a degree. Carmen doesn't have a degree. Galvin dropped out of high school. Rob's the only one who went to college, and he's the least successful one on the show. right now, Rob, you're getting there. Yeah. If you really have a passion to be in this business, go to a radio station, and I don't mean necessarily this one or the top radio station. Go to a radio station and say, I am here and willing to do anything in order to get my foot in the door. You start in promotions. You start as a board op. You're willing to work overnight. You want to work on Christmas. Do anything you can to get in the door. And then once you get in, be better than everybody else around you. That's the best way to do it.
I did that for a while, man, and then I screwed up and – had to move and everything and wasn't able to keep the job.
But it doesn't matter. Now you have experience.
You guys
now you're
awesome.
one step ahead of everybody else. You can go to a radio station now and say, I have experience. I'm looking to get back in and willing to do anything. You're a step ahead of everybody else.
Right on, brother. You guys keep crushing it, man. I love listening to the bones.
Thank you, pal.
I have a caveat to that. Yes. Even though I'm not under oath, I would like to add, work hard, get as much on air as you can, and do your best. Don't be annoying.
Oh, yeah.
And don't be terrible.
I was really annoying in the beginning. Poor Hawk and Marty and Jennifer Jordan. I used to bother them all the time. I wanted to hang out in their studio and do stuff with them.
Oh, I would pull the morning show. I'd pull all their music for them, the CDs and stuff. And then every day I would go, if you guys need me to do anything, like any street stuff, or if you need me to hang around, just let me know.
And then the annoying kid is here. But he's so good. He does so much work for us.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, Spanish is full time. Preston, go ahead.
Oh, I got a question for you, Mike. Where were you, Mike, on the night of March 24th, 1973 at 6:29 p.m.?
Let's see. What year? 70 what?
73.
I was 2, so I couldn't tell you, right, sir. You know, under oath, I couldn't tell you where I was. I was only 2 years old.
Okay, thank you.
Did he think you made U.S. Withdraw from Vietnam?
I don't know. Brian, go ahead.
Hey, man, I really wanted to know what actually happened when you were on The Replacements, your first real show.
Yeah.
Well, not real show, but
I get
the first
you.
Show where you started doing this. What happened to Brent? How did that breakup occur? I mean, did he take it okay? Or
no, when we got moved to the FM station. And then they turned that station into a Spanish channel. And then I got hired at 98 Rock at the time. And I just felt I needed to work with different people and do different things. And Spice was there. And it worked out perfect because he and I had worked together before. And then when I came back here to work in this place, I called Brent up and he came and worked over here. But unfortunately, Brent had a little bit of a issue. He had been in a bunch of car accidents and he'd been on a bunch of painkillers and it started affecting things. But now he's all good and we're still somewhat friends.
Okay, well, that's cool. I didn't know that about him. So
there you go. Yeah. He passed out on the air, and I fired him on the air, so everybody knew. That's why I'm not airing.
Really?
Oh, fired him at 6:30. Replayed it at 8:20. Jason, go ahead.
Hey, I was just wondering. I mean, I know you have Roger and JP on the bone, and their Brent as a bone program. How do you feel about having the Billy Madison show as a non-bone branded program? Being their own independent show.
What does that mean? I don't know what that means. Oh, you mean because they're replaying their morning show?
Yes.
I don't really care. It doesn't affect me whatsoever. I like those guys. I liked when they were on in the middays because I got to hear it more. I know, unfortunately, they're out of sight, out of mind to me now because I'm not listening at night, you know? But
well, I know that you've also made mention a couple of times of the Billy Madison Award of the people who appear the least amount at station function.
I think that's part of the problem with them not being here. They can't benefit from the same things that we benefit from with this audience, getting out and meeting the people and knowing them. But I'd still rather have some sort of association with them than none.
Oh, of course. Would you rather have a more local program in that spot? Or
no, I got to be honest with you. I don't care about anything else anymore. I care about 6 a.m. to
11.
Not even 11, well, like 10:40. 10:40. And that's all I care about. And then after that, everybody else is on their own.
Awesome. Thank you.
And when it comes to Drew's show, I think I'm the number one fan in the building. I listen to it almost every day. I listen to a couple hours of the show. But as far as the production and programming of it, couldn't care less.
I don't know whether you know or not, if you were listening yesterday, but it was Women's Day, whatever, and they only had women, except for me. I got through.
Oh, you did?
I got through on the phone. Yeah, what's up?
All right, last couple of phone calls, and we're done. Robert, go ahead.
I got two questions. Between you and Galvin, who would win in a fight?
You're going to make us fight, sir. You are going to make us fight in the studio. Galvin doesn't think I could beat up anybody.
Answer.
I think that I would kill Galvin.
Oh, my God!
And he thinks that he would kill me. So you're only going to make us fight.
Well, Robert, let's go around the room. Who thinks would win in that fight between me and Mike?
Don't look at anybody so we don't.
That's fine.
Rob, go ahead.
Mike.
Spanish?
I think it would be a tie.
Carmen?
You know me. I can't lie. Galvin whoops that ass.
Yeah. Rob, are you ridiculous? You really think that?
Yeah. Not anything against you. I think Mike can take a punch.
Galvin whoops that ass? You think Galvin would beat me up in a fight? I want to I want to fight both of you right now at the same time.
She's
That's how I feel.
And saying yeah.
Yeah. I hate you all.
I want to beat up Rob just for him saying you.
Well, I'm good with that. Anything else, sir?
My second question, would you ever hire Manson if he was available?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd hire Ned, though. James, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick. Hey.
Nope, don't need him.
The whole,
God, James,
the whole dynamic with Carmen you guys have going on, you know, it has to be an HR nightmare for your company and your agent and everyone else. How do you guys work with that, and how much of it's kind of just for the show, and how much of it is just, you know?
I can honestly say that none of it is for the show. Like,
no.
Everything that we do in here, like that, like Carmen, the picture that she tweeted out yesterday where she was naked, I called her the day before, and I asked her if this would be something that she would do. She is under no pressure, and blah, 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 and she was like, okay. And then she did it, and it looked great, and it was huge for us. So is that an HR nightmare? Probably. But pretty much anything that happens inside this studio doesn't meet the same... Like, if I went up to Car and I was like, look, if you don't start giving me sexual favors, I don't know how much longer you'll be here. That'd be an HR disaster.
This is sovereign ground.
But, yeah, but in here, you can... What's that, Carmen?
I'd probably
Yeah, exactly. But inside this studio, we get away with a lot more than you would in the hall. I can't walk in the hall and ask a girl from sales if she would do the naked picture. That would get me fired in a heartbeat.
And also, Carmen, have any of us been any different to you on air or off air?
No.
Like, is there any difference at all outside of this building or inside of this building while we're on air?
And I will say, because it does lie on me, like if I wanted to go to HR, I know I could in some situations, but
You'd
I
be
would
fired.
But, in a one car accident the next day.
Exactly. And plus I would never want to do that, because I learn from Spanish, and he puts up with a lot of stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Don't bother, you know, it's not going to do anything.
Well, no, I just don't think that I'm in any special position because I'm a female.
Right.
Like, I don't want to take that and always have that hanging over your guys' head, because I just don't think that would make for good.
You're solid. You're good. Dino is the same way. Dino was great like that, too.
But Carmen's a little better.
Yeah. Spanish, look at me.
Yeah.
A tie? I will kill you. Beth, go ahead. Beth?
Jess?
Jess.
Jess, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Pumpkin.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hi, Punkin. What's happening?
Not much. Okay, so my question is, if you had to get rid of one show on the Bone, what would it be?
Loveline.
Yeah.
I got that one. Then the Daily Rewind Show. Thank you.
Oh.
I threw in a bonus show for you. There you go. Two calls left, and we're done. Jason, go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering if you ever lived in Meadow Point in Wesley Chapel at one time.
Nope. I did live in Wesley Chapel, but not in Meadow Point.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I used to live there. I heard a rumor, but...
No, wasn't me. Sorry.
Thank you.
Spanish?
I have a question from Twitter. Michael, when are you going to finally take Carmen to the melting pot?
Soon. That seems to be a reliable answer on Twitter.
Oh, don't lie.
Hashtag soon. And the final call, Larry.
No, this is Jed.
Jed, I'm sorry. You will be the final call today.
No problem. Lord Palta, if this show were Downton Abbey and, God forbid, something happened to your son,
mm-hmm.
who on the show would be your heir apparent?
It's tough, sir. In relation to the show, if I were to die, Galvin's like the vice president, so he would be next in line. But sadly, after I died and you read my will, I think you'd see I'd left most of myself to Spanish.
Yes.
Thank you. Been keeping me up there.
You got it, sir. And Larry, I'm sorry. Since I said your name, I'll let you take your call. Larry, go ahead.
Okay, my question is that when you come to Sarasota, who do you think that would be your number one guy you could trust, would do anything for you, and your best driver?
Les McCurdy. Thank you, Larry. Oh. Appreciate your call. He's the only other name I can think of in Sarasota. I hope that satisfied everyone's needs. The phone lines are open. Nobody gets screened. Just your name and hold on and Twitter. And didn't seem to be anything too rattling today, although
no.
I think we seem to get the Tony Burton situation out there and the truth out there. Anything you want to surmise from that situation is entirely up to you, but now I've given you the truth, and that's what seems acceptable for the court, you should probably accept the same thing.
Steve and Julie Weintraub here for the Golden Diamond Source. If you're thinking about getting engaged, Golden Diamond Source is your one-stop destination.
Shop, compare, and save at the Golden Diamond Source.
3800 Ulmerton Road.
Or online at goldendiamondsource.com.